We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachas, Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Tefillin, Halacha Zayin, Paragraph Ches. In this Shir, we hope to conclude this Halacha and this topic, the topic of Tefillin for now. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave us the schus that it covered a number of Shiurim, and there's incredible light that's found in Rav Nosson Zal's Torah. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to be wrapping up this topic, and he goes into the topic of a bris milah to show how that's related to everything we've been learning till now. We said that this halacha was based on chapter 67 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which deals with a number of major topics. It deals with the topic of Mo'erei Oyer versus Mo'erei Esh, light versus fire. It deals with the concept that everything originates from Hashem, and from Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the four letters of Hashem's name are the basis for the four elements from which we are comprised of, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Ofor. And we mentioned that the name of the Tzaddik is Meshutof with the name of Hashem. There are many, many ways to show that, how Hashem places his name together with the names of the Tzaddikim. And in fact, every Jew, all of our names, Hashem is Meshutof Bishmenu. The fact that we are called Bnei Yisrael, the fact that Kael is part of the word Yisrael, shows that Hashem's name is Meshutof Bishmenu, with us. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to speak about the ceremonies that are performed at a Bris Milah, and one of the highlights, one of the very, very important events that takes place at a Bris Milah is the naming of the child, which usually the custom is, if it's for a boy, it's done at the Bris Milah. For a female child, a girl that's born, sometimes they wait till Shabbos. There's a significance of waiting till Shabbos to do it at the Sefer Torah Shabbos. Or if the girl is born early in the week, they might do it Monday or Thursday, but specifically at the Sefer Torah. And Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in maybe 5 or 10 different places in Likutei Halachos, giving different unique explanations regarding the naming of a child in general and how it's associated with the Sefer Torah, with Shabbos. And this is one of the places that he's going to speak about this. V'zeh b'chinas Hashem shenoisnim lahatinoik b'shas hamila. With everything we've been learning till now in this chapter, we will understand the concept of naming a child at the bris. Because by removing, cutting away and removing the arla, shehi klipas amolek, which we learned in the previous year, represents amolek, total evil. Shehi bechinas hahaloma vahastoranal, and we had said that what amolek is all about is covering up Hashem, covering up the tzaddik, hiding Hashem and hiding the tzaddik, not allowing their light to shine forth for Klal Yisrael and for the entire world. She'al yodo hoyo ne'elam v'nistar oyer hatzadik yisoid oylam, kanal. And now going back to the physical bris milah, as a result of that orla being on the yisoid, on the organ, that was covering up that light of the Yisoid. Yisoid is Tzadik. There's a pasuk, V'tzadik Yisoid Olam. So that orla, that tamei skin, was covering up the light of the Tzadik from being revealed. V'achshov she'eviru ubitlu ha'alama, and now that we cut away that skin, and we removed the Yisoid from its covering, from the hiding, Azai choizer v'nizgale b'chinas shem Hashem. So now there is once again a revelation of the name of Hashem, shehu b'chinas oyer hatzadik, which is the light of the tzadik. And we mentioned previously that there are many psukim that show that the bris milah is related to the name of Hashem. The pasuk v'hoyo shakai b'tzorecha, that Hashem's name shakai will be in your narrow places, referring to the bris milah. And there are other psukim that Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal bring regarding that. That the bris, that just like the tefillin, we said, is an example of having the name of Hashem upon you, the pasuk Varo Kol Ami Horetz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, and the Gemara says Elu Tefillin Shebaroish. So too, Bris Mila is one of the ways that we inscribe, we brand a Jew with the Shem Hashem. Umishom Nimshach Shem Hatinoi Kanimoil, and it's from there, from the fact that we are uncovering the name of Hashem, we're revealing the name of Hashem and the name of the Tzaddik, it's from there that the child, the Jewish child, is receiving its name. Shenikra b'shem Yisrael, b'shem Shem Avorach Moisoi. This child that's going to be given a Jewish name, the name that they're going to be known by. Ki kol shmois b'nei Yisrael. Heim bechinas shem Hashem, shem HaTzaddik. Because all of the Jewish names which come from the Torah generally, the Torah is called Kula Shmoisov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is all of the names of Hashem. So every name of a tzaddik, and in fact every name of a Jew, is Bechinas Shem Hashem. Ki Shmoi Meshutov Bishmenu, because Hashem's name is attached to our names. V'alkein, and therefore you'll observe that Avram Avinu, Shehu Roish Lenimoylin, Avram Avinu, who was the first one to have an official bris mila, kishetzivoloi Hashem Yisborach al hamila, when Hashem instructed him about the mitzvah of mila, oz higdil shemoi. That's when Hashem enlarged his name. He changed his name, k'may shekosav, as the pasuk says in Bereishis chapter 17, ani hinei brisi itoch. Hashem says, I, my covenant will be with you. You're going to have a bris mila, you and your children and your descendants, and this is going to set you apart from all the other nations. And the pasuk continues, v'lo yikore oid shimcho Avram, and you will no longer be called Avram, v'hoyo shimcho Avraham. You will be called Avraham. Hainu kanal. So we see the Torah making a clear connection between the bris and the revelation of the name, the hisgalus of the name. Ki mitzvah smila, she'al yodo mevatlin b'chinas halomo anal, because the mitzvah of mila, through which we eliminate the hiddenness, the covering over the name of Hashem and the name of the tzaddik, al yedei ze nigdal shem hatzaddik, that elevates and increases, enlarges the name of the tzaddik. Bechinas v'loi korei oide shimcho Avram kiim Avraham. You will no longer be known by your smaller name, by your lesser name. You'll be known by your full name. We know that the word Avraham is Begematria 248, showing that with that name, he ruled over all 248 organs. The Gemara says until he had that, there were five parts of the body that he was not moishel over. When Hashem increased his name, it showed that now his memshala was established over his entire self. Hainu shehigdil shmoi. Hashem enlarged his name, bechinas hagdolas shem Hashem, which is synonymous with heightening the name of Hashem. Sheze zoichin al yidei shebitlu ha'aloma. And how do we achieve that? By eliminating the forces that are hiding and blocking the name of Hashem from shining the way it's supposed to. Ayidei mitzvah smila kanal. Umishom mamshichim shem hatinoi kanimoil. And it's through this, by revealing the name of Hashem and the name of the tzaddik, it's from there that we draw the name of our child. That's where we're looking to get the name of this child. Sheyenikra b'shem Yisroel, that the child should be called by a Jewish name. Shehu b'chinas shem Hashem, shem HaTzadik, shenigdal ato al yidei mitzvah smila. Interesting, Rav Nosson Zal doesn't bring it here. He brings it in other places. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there's a pasuk, mi Yale lanu hashamayma. The Torah says that you shouldn't think that the Torah is up in heaven and it's inaccessible. You're going to say to yourself, who's going to go all the way up to heaven to get it? Or to think that it's somewhere hidden away. Ki koroiv eilecho hadovar moi. The Torah is right next. It's close to you. Beficho ubilvovcho la'asoisoi. It's within your mouth and your heart to make it, to make the connection to the Torah. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that the first letters of that pasuk, mi, yale, lanu, hashamayma, spell the word mila. that this mitzvah of milah is what take is the stairway to heaven. This is the mitzvah which takes a Jew up, up, up and elevates him, separates us from the other nations who are impure, unholy, and elevates us to a different place, to heavenliness. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that the last letters of those words, mi, ya'ale, lanu hashamayma, spell yud kei vav kei, the Shem Hashem. So here again, in this pasuk, you see, in these four words, you see clearly that mila is synonymous with yud kei vav kei. This is one, every mitzvah is a bond between us and Hashem. We mention that the Torah is kula shmoisev shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is one with the Torah. The Zohar HaKadosh says, kutshebrichu v'yiraisu chadu, they're one. So every time we connect to a mitzvah, we're connecting to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal, once on Pesach, he was holding matzah in his hand, and he said, I'm holding Hashem in my hands. Because a mitzvah is elokus, it's Hashem. In some mitzvahs, it's more apparent and stronger in a sense than others. Mila is one of the top mitzvahs, you know, in Klal Yisrael. Okay. This is why it's very important. It's very important that we make this statement. When a person is learning Torah, any part of Torah, Chumash, especially Torah Shebal Peh, Gemara, and more so, Chasidus Kabbalah, whenever you're learning something and it's not that clear, it's not because the Torah is not clear. If you learn another couple of pages, it's going to come up again, and there it's going to be made more clear. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi says that the Torah is aniya b'makam echad v'ashira b'makam acher. The Torah, Hashem designed the Torah in such a way, intentionally, that it's like a jigsaw puzzle. You get a piece here, a piece there. It isn't until you do the whole thing that all of the pieces fit and you see how the picture is being formed. The fact that something is unclear is not because that topic isn't clear. It's because they've given us some information on it over here. If you keep learning, you're going to see in a couple of pages, you're going to get more and you're going to be more and more enlightened on each topic. Paragraph Tess. V'chol zeh hu bechinas Purim u'parsha zocher shekorim elefonov. And everything we've spoken about here is tied into the holiday of Purim and Parsha Zocher, which we read right before Purim. Shehu hachnoas klipas amolik, which deals with defeating the tomb of Amolik. Shehu iker klipas ha'orlo hachoif al bris kodesh. Amolik represents that tumah, that tamei skin, that's covering the holy bris. Shemishom ikar hahalomo shemizgare tomid lahalim oyer hatzadik isoidoylam alide pegama bris. And that's the basis for the fact that we, throughout generations, this is the work of Amalek to cover the tzadik, to hide the light of the tzadik through pegam habris. Just like a Jew walking around not having had a bris milah is a concept of pegam habris, so too, the more that the Jewish people are not receiving the light of the tzaddik, the more they're not aware and not receiving, that's also an aspect of pegam habris. And one of the ways that the Amalek works to hide the light of the tzaddik is by causing us to stumble in this area of bris kodesh, just like it says in the Chumash, he'll bring it soon, asher korcha baderech, that the work of Amalek is korcha, carry, associated to pegam habris. Shezeu b'chinas asher korcha baderech, shu b'chinas pegam habris, kemuva, as is brought in Sforim, that this is what Amalek is all, when we say, people say, why is this such a big, who says that this is the most important thing? The answer is, the Torah says, Reishis Goyim Amalek, that there are many klipos, the Jews have many opponents, but the Torah says the top one is Amalek. And by Amalek it says, what was his focus on? Asher korcho baderech. His focus was in this area. Just like the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ikra deyitzra bisha al arayim. The Yetzirah wants to get us to sin in a million different ways, but the most important one is this one. Because if there's no foundation, you can't put up a building. V'hu mizgaber al chalushei koyach lehafridom chas v'shalom mehatzadek u'emes. And Amalek attacks specifically the weaker people to try to separate them from the true tzaddik. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Vayezanev becho kol ha-necheshalim achrecha. That Amalek went after the necheshalim, the weak ones, who were straddling behind, in the back. Va'ato oyef v'yogeya, and you were very tired at the time, v'loy yore elokim, and you were lacking in fear of Hashem, and that's what made you vulnerable to Amalek. Again, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that the word necheshalim, take a look at the word nechesh, ha-necheshalim has two words in it, nochosh and mila. The nochosh, who is the avi avoy satuma, remember? We said that the nochosh is the one who caused the eitz hadas, who caused everything. And the opposite of the nochosh is mila, you know, tikkun habris. Sheheim chachalushei koyach shebi Yisrael. This refers to the weaker people in Klal Yisrael. Sheroitza lehizgaber aleihem beyoser. That the Amalek tries to do everything he can to overcome them. Betoikef ha'aloma. With a severe hiding. You know, by hiding the tzaddik, blocking the person from being able to benefit in any way from the tzaddik. Lahafridom legamri chas v'shalom me'at tzaddik emes, to separate them totally from the true tzaddik, shemishom kol chiyusam v'tikvosam lonetzach, who is the source from which they could be getting all of their spiritual life, and their whole eternal hope is through connecting with the true tzaddik, just like during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Dovra Me, all the tzaddikim. And this is the concept of Haman. Sherotzo lehizgaber bo'eis shenilkecho Esther lemishkav ha'orel. When did Haman want to destroy the Jews totally? After Esther Hamalka had been taken captive, and she was in the palace of Achashverosh, and being prepared to be used by this Tomei Rosha, you know, for his purposes. Kisovar, because Haman thought she'isho yiras Hashem nichbisho tachtom, that the Shekhinah, who is referred to as Isho yiras Hashem, had been captured and was now totally under the control of the Sitra Achra. Kikol hamo'irei esh yinikosam mibchinas isho kiyodua, because Rav Nosson Zal says, by the way, if you look in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chasidus, you'll see that the Mo'irei Eish draw their power especially from the female. We know that Ish and Isha are referred to as Chesed and Gevura. So Isha is Gevura, Eish is Gevura. It comes from there. Interesting, the Gemara speaks about the fact that the word Ish has Eish in it, and the word Isha has Eish in it. But the Gemara says her Eish is much more severe than his. Why? Because in the word Ish, the Yud is in the middle. The Yud separates, keeps the Aleph and Shin, the two wires apart, so you don't put them together and blow anything up. In the word Isha, that it has the hay there, but the Aleph and Shin are together, the Gemara says, her fire is stronger than his. So Rav Nosson Zal tells us that the Mo'ere Ish draw from the Isha. That's why, again, when the Nochash had to choose who to negotiate with, he negotiated with Chava. He knew she was closer to him. She was much more vulnerable to him. Alkein, Shom Iker HaMilchoma. And that's why that's the main battlefield. The main battlefield is when it comes to the topic of women. Because that's where the Mo'ere Eish is. And it could go either way. A person could be zeichet to get married, Bikdusha, and bring children, kosher children into the world, and bris mila and everything. Or chas v'shalom, the opposite. Avol betoikev kedushosoi shel Mordechai. However, as a result of the powerful holiness of Mordechai, v'gam Esther hoisa tzadekes gedoyla, and Esther Amalka was also an incredible tzadekes, shomar oisa, she was protected, sheloitia nilkedes beinehem, that she was not captured by them. As the Tikkun HaZohar says, begin da'ach notarlo, because the brother watched over her. The Zohar Kodesh tells us that in the word Echod, Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Echod, the word Echod is divided into two parts. The Aleph Ches, which is Ach, brother, which refers to the Vav of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. We mentioned many times that Yud Kei Vav Kei is father, mother, son, and daughter. Yud Kei Vav Kei Kaviyochel represents a family, a total family. So the Vav is the sons, and the last hey is the daughter. Those two, their union to the every mitzvah we do, every good thing we do, unites them, brings them together. Chas v'shalom, tshuva is toshuv hey, to return the hey to the vav. Sins, when we commit sins, we cause a separation. Nida is nod hey. The hey moves away from the vav. So these two, the vav and the kei, which represent son and daughter, or brother and sister. The Zohar Kodesh says we find throughout Shir HaShirim, sometimes the Shechina is referred to as a daughter, sometimes a sister, sometimes a mother. It's all one. It's all one. So the Zohar Kodesh says that in the word Echod, the Aleph Ches stands for the brother, the Vav, and the Dalet stands for the Shechina, the Malchus. So the Zohar Kodesh says that Esther HaMalka, Queen Esther, who symbolized the Shechina, the Zohar HaKadosh begins, Parshas Bereishis, and the Zohar HaKadosh begins with the words, Kishoshana bein hachochim, kein rayasi bein abonois. Like a rose among the thorns, so too is my beloved among all the nations, referring to Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, or the Shechina. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, Shoshana is Begematria Esther. Esther represents the Shechina. And again, the word Esther means the hiddenness. The Shechina sometimes is hidden, covered up, and sometimes it's revealed. So here the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that she was protected. Even though she was taken into Ahasuerus's palace, she had a Shmirah. Tosfos mentions this in the Gemara Megillah in one place, where it talks about Ahasuerus being with her, and Tosfos says that there is an opinion that he never touched her. Anytime he wanted to have physical contact with her, there was a female shed that looked her identical twin, that's who he was with. He was never with Esther HaMalka, because she represents the Shechina. She's the highest level of holiness. This Tomei Goy couldn't touch her, just like Avimelech couldn't touch Sarah, just like the Torah. Each time, we're going to see again what goes on now. Adarabba, just the opposite. Not only did they not squash her, not only did Ahasuerus not swallow up Esther, but just the opposite. Hoitzio mi beinehem kol nitzutzos hakedusha. She succeeded in extracting from them, from Haman and Ahasuerus, all the sparks of holiness that they had swallowed up in the form of the wealth, all the wealth that she took from them and gave over to Mordechai HaTzadik, who was appointed over the house of Haman and everything. Bibichinas, as the pasuk says in Koheles, Eish asher sholat ha'odom ba'odom l'raloi. There's a time when Reuven rules over Shimon to Reuven's downfall. You know, it's like here, it seemed as if Ahasuerus had captured Esther. He didn't know that the plan was for her to be able to get in there and get all the keys to all the safes, to be able to empty out all the safe deposit boxes and turn it over to Mordechai HaTzadik, to Klal Yisrael, to extract all the sparks of Kedusha that they had swallowed up. Shezeo b'chinas masha'omru le'washakosav le'el. This is what we mentioned earlier. Shebishoyresh ha'kedusha nichlolin hama'oyre yeish b'b'chinas ma'oyre erkanal. That if you look at the source, going up to the source, there the ma'oyre yeish are plugged in, they receive from the ma'oyre yoyer. They're all one, they're actually one in holiness, within the sphere of holiness. Aval homon sovar, she'achshov yizgaber al yedei zeh, shal yedei she'nilkecho Esther, yeloi koyach lahagbir mo'oid es hamo'ir yeish. Haman thought, wow, we captured the flag. We got Esther, we got this big tzadekis. Now I'm free to do everything I want. Now we'll turn up the fire. Ad she'yichle v'yisroiv chas v'shom ha'koil, till it will destroy all of Klal Yisrael. She'zeo b'chinas ma'sherotzo lahashmid laharoi guliabed. The Torah uses such incredible words. He wanted to wipe out totally. V'ho'ikar, And again, what gave him an opening? What was the hole? The Gemara says it's not the mouse that's guilty; it's the hole that's guilty, right? That lets the mouse in. Vo'iker al yedei shenichshelu bebovel benoshim hanachriyos bepigam abris kol kach. The Gemara says Megillah that as this was towards the end of Golus Bovel, and the Jews, unfortunately, very often vayisorvu bagoyim vayilmadu mimaseim. When we assimilate, when we're put in exile among the goyim, unfortunately, Rachmanot Zlan, lo yaleinu, there are many Jews that intermarry. And this is what happened at that time. As a result of the intermarriage, the Jewish men mixing with the non-Jewish women, that's what made us so vulnerable to Haman Amalek's power. Shaydeze mezgaber ha-haloma v'astora. When there's pigam abris, then there's orla. What does the orla do? It covers up the tzaddik. It hides the tzaddik. It hides the Shem Hashem. Ki mezgabre moire yesh kanal, because the moire yesh gets stronger, umi goydel hisgabrusamoz, rotzo lechalois legamri chasshon. And because the moire yesh were at such a high at that time, Haman thought, wow, this is my opportunity. We're going to burn him totally. We'll cremate all the Jews, like the other Hamans wanted to do. Ube'emes hoysooz eis tzora gedoyla kemuva. And the truth is that we were in very deep trouble at the time. We were in extreme danger at the time, like the Gemara says. Aval hachno osoy umapol osoy hoyo al yedei Mordechai. However, who brought Haman down? Mordechai Hatzadik, Sheyotzo Besoichoir, Vayizak Zooko Gedoilo Umora. The Torah says he went out in the middle of the city and he screamed a bitter, bitter scream. Vayilbash Sak Voefer. And he dressed himself in sackcloth and ashes. Just like when we speak about Tikkun Chatzois, the midnight prayer where we mourn the destruction of the Beis Hamikdosh. There were tzaddikim who would put on sackcloth and put ashes on their forehead in saying Tikkun Chatzos. In Breslov, the custom is not, the rabbis that I saw did not do it, but there is this awareness, this consciousness, that Tikkun Chatzos is all about this union of Efer Tachas Pe'er, that the Pe'er, the beauty of Klal Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdosh, was turned into ashes. And through our tefillah, through our tears, we're trying to restore the glory of Klal Yisrael, to convert the ashes into Pe'er, to turn the Efer into Pe'er. So what did Mordechai HaTzadik do when he saw that the light of Hashem, the light of Tzadikim was hidden? He turned on the tefillah, the tzaka. As the pasuk says, Devchein b'chol mokom asher dvar ha-melech v'dosei magia, evel godoy la-yehudim. Wherever the decree of Achashverosh had spread, the Jews were in mourning, evel. Vitzoim uvechi umispeid, fasting and crying and eulogizing. Sak voefer yutzal orabim. This is all what we learned about earlier. This is the avoido of Chatzos. Sheikar habechia vahahespeid. And what is the crying really all about? Hu al ha'aloma. About the fact that Hashem has gone into hiding. Hashem is hiding himself, and the true tzaddikim have become hidden from us. When we fall into these sins and everything, then the light of Hashem, the light of tzaddikim, becomes hidden. Shaydeizeh ikar churban beis hamikdash kanal. And that's what caused the destruction of the beis hamikdash. Kigam oz ikar hisgarus a. Now Rav Nosson Zal says again, showing the clear connection. Kigam oz, because if you study your history, and you study the Gemara, you'll see that why was Haman so active at the time? Iker hisgarus Haman v'chayeloisov hoyo al shero sheroitzim lachzor v'livnoisis abeis hamikdosh. The Gemara says the 70 years were over, the 70 years of Golus Bavel were over, and the Jews were starting to discuss the fact that, hey, the time has come to go back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis Hamikdosh. And Haman heard about this, and that's what made him decide, if I don't act now, they might go back to, this is the time to wipe them out. Umachmazeh hisgaru bohem, and it's for this reason that Haman attacked, challenged the Jews, lahakbir chas v'sholom hamoy reish, to try to turn up the fire, al yidei hapigomim anal, as a result of the sins that the Jews had been nichshal in, noshim nochriyos, lechaloisom legamri chasashom, to wipe us out totally. Avol Mordechai v'Yisroel hemshichu tikun hanal. However, how did Mordechai fight Haman? With the tikun that we discussed. Shel bechinas chatzois hanal. The tikun of chatzois. He practiced the same avoida that Jews do at midnight. Al yidei ho'avelus v'habechia v'hahesped. Through mourning and crying and eulogizing, shebachu v'hispidu al hatzora hagadoyla zois, they cried and eulogized over this incredible tragedy. Shuhu bechinas hesped al ha'alomas hatzadik. When do we make a eulogy? Who do we eulogize? When a great person passes away, we make a hesped. That's when you have a eulogy. So if the Torah, if the Megillah uses the term it means that Mordechai HaTzadik opened the eyes of the Jewish people to let them know what's going on. That as a result of all the sins they've done, they've caused Hashem and the Tzadikim to go into hiding, as if they're all dead and gone. V'zeh b'chinas sak v'efer. Here again, what is sak v'efer doing in the Megillah? That belongs in Eicha. How does this come into Megillah Esther? People read it and they don't know what they're reading. And Rav Nosson Zal is opening our eyes. Look what they did. Look how Mordechai HaTzadik won. Sak v'efer. Rav Nosson Zal says, efer daika. Efer is ashes. Shebachu v'hispalshu b'efer. They cried and they rolled themselves in ashes. Al shero toikif hisgabrus ha-moireyesh. Because they saw, they were witnessing how the fire, the moireyesh, are rising up to such power. Haman is so powerful. Shehim b'chinas efer, which is what ashes represents. Vaydeze be'emes zochu achar kach shenishapech mehepech al hepech. And as a result of their fighting this battle properly, what did they do? They turned it around completely. B'chinas, as we quoted the pasuk earlier, losum la'avele tzion pe'er tachasefer. The pasuk says that for those who mourn Tzion, what is Tzion? Tzion is Yerushalayim. What is Tzion? Tzion is the tzaddik. The word Tzion is bigematria Yosef. It's brought. So those who mourn the loss of the Beis Hamikdash, the halom of Hashem's light, the halom of the light of the tzaddik, the pasuk says losum lavei leTzion pe'er tachasefer. Hashem will replace our ashes with pe'er, beauty. Tachas efer daika. Look what the pasuk says. That if you will turn on the ashes, then Hashem will exchange your ashes for pe'er. Pe'efer daika, b'chinas shenesapchu hamo'ereyesh. This is teaching us that the mo'ereyesh, b'chinas efer, which generate ashes, she'yinikosam b'chinas isha, and they draw there from the woman. But Esther, they draw from there, v'nichlelu b'shoyres kedushasam. They were plugged into their roots, into the source of their holiness, b'bechinas pe'er v'yoyfi v'hidur atzadik. They were plugged into the beauty of the tzadik, shehu b'chinas mo'ereyor, the light. Shezeo b'chinas, now you'll understand what the pasuk says at the end of the Megillah, u'mordechai yotza b'lifnei ha'melech. Mordechai HaTzadik, after Haman and his kids were all hung and defeated, Mordechai came forth, Milefnei HaMelech, Bilevush Malchus, Tcheles, Vachur, Vateres. What's the Torah's into fashion? Well, who cares what he was wearing? That's what we're talking about, what he was wearing at the time? Why is this in Megillah Esther? This is an incredible message to us. This is the Pe'er Tachasefer. This is what happened when the Kedusha wins. When we succeed in defeating the Sitra Achra, the ashes, the Efer, gets converted to Pe'er. This is the Levush Malchus Tcheles Vachur, Shekol Zeh Hu Bechinas Pe'er V'Yoyfi V'Hidur HaTzadik Uemes. This is where the Klal Yisrael saw how beautiful Mordechai HaTzadik is. They saw the greatness of the Tzadik. Just like by Yosef HaTzadik, who was taken from prison and everything, to become Sheni Lamelech, to be the economic minister of the world. Bechinas Klolius Hagavnin, the combination of all the different colors, Shem Bechinas Tcheles, Vachur, etc., Vesach Rechbutz Vargomon, that are listed over there. ki hisgabru bechazdoi bechinas hamoirei or moed. Because as a result of Hashem's kindness, the moirei or became strong and powerful bebechinas pe'er tachas sefer, so that the efer was replaced, was converted into pe'er. Ki Mordechai hu bechinas horoish bayis. Remember, we used the title before that the Zohar Kodesh uses, that the tzaddik is called Roish Bayis, the master of the house. Mordechai Atzaddik is an example of one of the Roish Bayises. And now he's going to show it to us perfectly clearly. Bibichinas, as the Gemara points out, where is Mordechai mentioned in the Chumash? The Gemara says, when it speaks about the Mishkan, it says, V'ato kach lecho besomim Roish. Take for yourself the finest of the spices, mor dror. And the first one is mor dror. And the targum of mor dror is Mordechaya, Mordechai. The Gemara says this is where Mordechai is mentioned in the Torah. What is he called? Besomim roish. The roish, this roish bias. Shehu bechinas Mordechai min haTorah, kama shemazal, as the Gemara points out in Megillah, page 10, that this is where Mordechai is mentioned in the Chumash. Ki horoish digdusha bechinas moichin hanal heim bechinas besomim. Because the top in holiness, which is the moichin, the head, the seichel, is symbolized by psomim, sweet spices. Bechinas reach toiv, a good smell, shehu chius haneshama. The Gemara tells us that we say koil haneshama tahalel ka, the soul praises Hashem. So the Gemara says, what item is there that the body doesn't benefit from? It's the soul. The Gemara says, that's smell. That's besamim, the sense of smell. That's why when Shabbos is over and we relinquish the neshama yaseir, we're giving up a major chunk of neshama, we restore ourselves with smelling besamim. Besamim is soul food. It's neshama. It's what feeds the neshama. Shehu chiyus haneshama. That's the life of the neshama. Shehi bechinas hamoichin, which is synonymous with moichin. As we mentioned many times, hachochma techaya. Chochma seichel gives a person spiritual life, and besomim also gives spiritual life. And now Rav Nosson Zal brings them together. This is a pasuk that's quoted often in Likutei Moran. As the pasuk says, v'nishmas shakai tevinim. Their soul gives them understanding. Tevuna, tevuna, seichel, understanding, is the neshama. The neshama is seichel, and the neshama is reach. Those two go together. V'alkein, besamim and roish, we said. Besamim is the reach, roish is the moichim. V'alkein, al yedei habsamim roish elu, and this is why it's with these spices that are mentioned over there in the Chumash, nimshach hamishkon v'chol kelov, v'niskatshu b'kdushosim. This is what made all the vessels in the Mishkan holy. They smeared it with these special spices, the Shemen HaMishcha, which had these spices in it, including Mordechai. Kikol. So this is how we anointed the Mishkan. This is what made the Mishkan holy. This ties into what Rabbeinu Zal says on the Kutiman over there, that where does the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash get its holiness from? From the Tzaddik. Kikol kedushas hamishkan v'habeis hamikdash hu al yedei hatzadik horoish bayis hanal. The mishkan, the basement, the bayis receives its holiness from the roish, from the tzadik. Just like in the tefillin, we have the batim, the boxes, that have the parshias inside. The Gemara says, kama tipsho yinchi, how foolish are those people who stand up for a sefer Torah and they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. They don't realize that the Talmud Chacham is the essence of the Sefer Torah. So here again, we have the parsh, we have the tefillin, the boxes of the tefillin. What's the light that feeds them? It's the tzaddik, the light of the tzaddik. That's the roish feeding into the bayis. Shehu bechinas Shabbos. The tzaddik is referred to as the Shabbos. Remember we said Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's our student said to him, Antu Shabbos the Kula Yoimi, you're the Shabbos. We're the 6 days of the week. We receive our hashpah from you. Shemeir la Beis HaMikdash. Shabbos is what feeds its light into the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the bias receives from the Roish, which is Shabbos. ukemavura ba toiranal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 67 in Likutei Moran. Paragraph Yud. Vezehu. Now we come to one of the favorite psukim in the whole Megillah. When we say that special pasuk, we say it every Saturday night. La Yehudim hoisa oira v'simcha v'sosain v'kor. That the Jews won big time. They won. Haman was wiped out. And this is how we declare the victory, that we had these four things: oira, simcha, sosain v'kor, shehim b'chinas pe'er. All of these represent beauty, light, and joy, and happiness. And yikor means preciousness. Klolius Hagavnin, the combination of all the different colors. Bechinas Dalid Moichin. This is another example of where the Torah mentions these four that symbolize the four Moichin. Just like we saw when it came to the building of the Mishkan, remember? That Hashem gave Bezalel Chochma, Tevuna, Das, and Kol Malacha. We mentioned earlier. Shemishom Kol Hasmochos. It's from these Moichin, from this Seichel, that all of our joy and happiness comes from. Bibichinas, as the Pasuk says, Bishimcha Yegilon Kol Hayom. Hashem, with your name, they rejoice all day. The four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which are the Dalet Moichin. Why? Kisiferes Uzomoy Oto. Because you are the beauty, Tiferes, Pe'er. You, Hashem, are the beauty of our strength. And with this, you'll understand what the Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Tezayin, on this pasuk. The Gemara says, Oira zu toira. Oira refers to toira. Bechinas kedushas hamoichin anal. That refers to the seichel that we spoke about. Shehem bechinas kedushas hatoira. That's the Torah. The parshiyos in the tefillin are sections of the Torah. Ki kol chochmos hamoichin hu rak chochmos hatoira. Because the real brains of a person is the Chochmas HaTorah of the person, not any other secular wisdoms. They're not to be compared, Chas HaShom, in any way. That's also referred to as a Chochma, but it's a different league entirely. K'moshe Kosuv, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ani Chochma. The Torah says, I am Chochma. Li Bina. In me is found Bina. That's number one. Now we move on. Number two, like Oira, then comes Vesimcha Zeyantif. The Gemara says Simcha refers to a holiday. She'oz Meir Oir Haponim. Because what happens on a holiday? We discussed this earlier. That's when we went to the Beis HaMikdash to receive the light of Hashem's face. Sholosh Pam Hashanah Yeroe Kol Zechurcha Es Penei Hashem Alikecha. This is why Hashem instructed us to go up to the Beis HaMikdash on the holidays. To receive this light of Hashem's face that shines in the bayis, in the Beis HaMikdash. That's this beauty that we're speaking about here. Shehu Iker Kiddushas HaBeis HaMikdash. That's the real holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, is the presence of Hashem there. How did we see Hashem's face in the Beis HaMikdash? We spoke about this recently and it fits in beautifully. We said that there's two formats. Sadikim, something stronger here. We said that Hashem has two hanhogos. There's when Hashem keeps low profile, autopilot, hidden, Hashem is hidden, that's called Hateva. When Hashem makes it seem as if you don't need a pilot, it's all automatic. The sun rises in the morning, it's all pre-programmed, period. That's Hateva. The Arizal says Hateva's Bigimatri Elikim. That's Din, that's Hastorah. When there's the lack of it, when Hashem takes the cover off, he removes the curtain, and Hashem rolls up his sleeves and says, watch me, and we start seeing, note the opposite of Teva, we see miracles, that's the Oir Pnei Hashem. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, what was the Beis HaMikdash? There were 10 miracles going on a constant basis. That's called Oir Pnei Hashem. That's called seeing the Hashgacha, seeing that there is no teva, there's no such thing as auto. Hashem is behind everything, and everything happens only because his rotzim. When he wants the sun to rise in the morning and set in the evening, it goes that way. And if he wants it to rise at night and set in the morning, no problem. He can do it perfect, just like we saw the miracles that the Gemara describes took place in the Beis Mikdash constantly. That's called seeing, that's the Hastorah. That's the revelation, that's the Gilui, the revelation. The Hastorah is when you don't see Hashem, when it's possible to think that Hashem's absent or he's somewhere else because everything is just happening automatically, Chas v'Shalom. The Gemara goes on, V'zehu sason, so that's Simcha, which is Yontif, when we receive the Oyer Pnei Hashem. V'sason, the Gemara says, Zumila, that refers to Bris Mila. Hainu hachnoas ubitul ha'alamanal. As we learned earlier, because Bris Mila is one of the mitzvahs where we take an active role in removing the cover, removing the arla, removing what's covering the Shem Hashem and the Oyer HaTzadik. Al yidei havoras orlo, shibchinas klipas amolik, shechoitchin umavir noisa, we cut it and remove it, al yidei mitzvah smila kanal. Vizehu, and that's why right after the sosain comes, vikor. And the Gemara says, what is vikor? Elu tfilin. That refers to tfilin. Ki kol zehu bechinas tfilin. Because this whole pasuk, the oira, the simcha sosain, is all he showed in this halacha, he connected all of those things together. The Moichin, the Torah, and the Oyer Pnei Hashem, and the, all of this. In this pasuk, we see sort of a summary of everything we've covered in the past few pages. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds two short appendixes. Paragraph Yud Aleph. Va'ayin behilchas Shabbos, halacha dalet. Take a look in Likutei Halachos, hilchas Shabbos, halacha dalet. Shom mavoyer gamkein inyan parshas zohar al pi ha'Torah zois. There also, Rav Nosson Zal gave a major explanation about why we read Parsha Zohar before Purim, based on this chapter on Likutei Imran, Torah Samach Zayin, the same chapter in Purim. Ach, but Rav Nosson Zal says, don't think I'm repeating myself. There are different things that were said here than what was said over there. Why? HaTorah hi arucha me'eretz mida. The Torah is bigger than the whole world. The Torah is so large. There's so much to say on every topic. And what isn't mentioned here, you'll find it over there. And what's not over there, you're gonna find again pieces of the puzzle being filled in each place. And we still need more information. There's still a lot to reveal on this. There's still a lot to say on this topic. As the pasuk says, Hanigloys lonul vanenu, the revealed part of the Torah, that's for us and our children. Milvad hanistorois l'Hashem Elokeinu, besides that which is hidden, which only Hashem knows. Sheyesh bozeh, which is found in this topic. Shehu sosum venela meyon koil. There's other stuff that's hidden that none of us know about in the depth of the mitzvah of tefillin, you know, and all the things we've discussed here. Hashem Yisporach, Yoyer Einenu B'Toirosoi Tomid. May Hashem open our eyes to see the light of the Torah all the time. Amen Ken Yehi Rotzon. Now he adds another little bit. Paragraph Yud Beis. V'hine al pi kol hanal mevor. Based on everything we discussed so far, it was explained, Shetfilin heim b'chinas pe'er. The tefillin are referred to as pe'er, beauty. B'chinas moichin, which is the seichel, hameirin lebeis hamikdash, which shines into the bayis, into the beis hamikdash, shezeh bechinas Shabbos kanal. And we said also that another example of these moichin and seichel is Shabbos. Shabbos we receive a neshama yisera. What is a neshama yisera? Additional brains, more seichel. We quoted the pasuk before, v'nishmas shakai tevinim, which means on Shabbos, if a person really believes in Shabbos and tries to keep Shabbos the right way, they will see that their brain is different. They have a different seichel, a much higher level. The ability to understand the Torah and connect to it is much greater. V'ato memela move on mashi Shabbos lazman tefillin. Now automatically you'll understand why we don't put on tefillin on Shabbos. כי בשבס מאירן המויכן בבחינס פאר, בבחינס אויר הצדיק, ממילא על ידי קדושס עיצומוי של יוין. Because on שבס, the moichin, the pe'er, the light of the tzaddik shine automatically, even though we don't put on tefillin, just based on the holiness of the day. If you recall, we mentioned a while back that the word tefillin has the four compartments. We're talking about the dalet moichin. The Zohar HaKadosh says the word Shabbos is shin bas. The shin has three heads corresponding to the three colored rings of the eye. The bas stands for the bat ayin, the pupil. That in the eye represents the moichin, the seichel. Vatipokachno einei shneim, it says. When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, their eyes were filled pikeach, with chochma, seichel. The eye has these dalet moichin, these four parts to it. The Zohar HaKadosh refers to it many times. The tlas gavnen deino ubasayin. So on Shabbos, we are getting the four parshiyos of tefillin just by observing Shabbos itself. Shabbos has all of those moichin in it. V'chein yontif, gam kein, meir boi oyer haponim, and on yontif also we saw that the oyer haponim of Hashem is shining, shehu b'chinas pe'er, which is also an example of this beauty. Al yedei kedushas yontif bi'atzmoi, through the holiness of yontif itself, by celebrating the holiday, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, we are automatically receiving those dalet moichin. V'alkein hu gam kein lav zman tefillin. And that's why Yom Tov also is not a time we don't need to put on tefillin. What tefillin gives us, this gives us also. That's why the Gemara says that you have two mitzvahs that are called ois. Tefillin is called ois. V'oyelo ois al yodcha. Three, I'm sorry. Tefillin is called ois. Shabbos is called ois. And bris milah is called. All three go together. We showed how tefillin and it's all bris. Shabbos is bris. Shabbos represents the highest kedusha in that area where the Talmidei Chachamim, their time is Shabbos. And so too, tefillin represents shmiras habris as we saw. And the third thing was the bris milah, the actual bris milah. Now Rav Nosson Ali is the cherry on top. Paragraph Yud Gimel. V'zehu shekosa b'zoyer HaKadosh parshas Chayisoro. This is why the Zohar HaKadosh tells us sherozo de tefillin hu, that the secret of tefillin is ki hein bebechinas v'osu li mikdosh, that the tefillin are like a beis hamikdosh. V'osu li mikdosh v'shochanti b'seichem. You will make for me a bayis and I will reside inside. Just like the tefillin have batim, there's a bayis, and Hashem is inside, the parshiyos that are inside. V'chulu, etc., etc. The Zohar HaKadosh expounds on it. U'kemo shekosav sham, and as the Zohar HaKadosh says there, kegavno demikdosh. Just like we saw in the Beis HaMikdosh. Dichsiv, v'asei kruv echod mikotzom izeh, u'kruv echod mikotzom izeh. That in the Holy of Holies, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you had the Oroin, and on top of the Oron, you had the two kruvim, the two childlike figurines, one on one side and one on the other side. V'alayhu diura demalka bi'arba asvan. And the Zohar HaKadosh says it's upon those kruvim in the Holy of Holies was the residence of the king with his four letters. That's where the Yud Kei Vav Kei shined most brightly. U'kehai gavna liba u'moicha. And similarly, the Zohar HaKadosh says, just like what you had in the Holy of Holies in the Beis HaMikdash, so too in a human being, the heart and the brain, the person's heart and brain, alayhu madoirin de kuchabrichu, that's where Hashem, just like in the Holy of Holies, there were the two kruvim inside us are the brain and the heart, upon which the four letters of Hashem reside through the Dalet Parshiyos. The four parshiyos that we have in the Tefillin Shel Rosh and the Tefillin Shel Yad. Ayin Shom, look over there in the Zohar HaKadosh. Ki al pi kol hanal, because based on everything we learned in this halacha, Mevoyer, it was explained, she Tefillin heim b'chinas Shabbos. That Tefillin represents Shabbos, b'chinas oyer hatzadik, the light of the tzadik, shehu b'chinas hamoichin hameirin lebeis hamikdosh, which is the light, the seichel, that feeds into the Beis HaMikdosh. Hainu kechol divrei hazoyer hanal. this conforms beautifully with what the Zohar HaKadosh explains over there. Shetfilin heim bechinas ve'osuli mikdosh. That tefillin are a beis hamikdosh. And again, this is what Sifrei Chassidus are all about. What we see in the Chassidish Sforim is they take the Kabbalah, the Zohar, the Kabbalah and the Gemara and all of that, and clarify it, bring it down to a level that we can relate to it and understand how this applies to our daily Avodas Hashem. It's incredible. As I was saying this last part, it reminded me of one of the most fantastic stories I ever heard in my life from Rav Rosenfeld. This story is mentioned in the Taimei HaMenhogim. It's awesome. It should take like a half hour to say. We're gonna shrink it and try to do it in about 5 minutes. The story takes place in the 1500s. One of the great tzaddikim at that time, I believe his name was Reb Moshe Gichtila, or one of the Gichtilas, one of the Mekubolim at that time, who heard that there was a goy, a sheik, who people would come to, and he would be able, if they had any kind of problem, he would be able to solve their problem. And no matter what it was, a healing, financial, anything, he was known as a miracle worker, this goy, and his reputation spread. Kings would send their, you know, the princes to him, all kinds of things. And people saw results. And this tzaddik couldn't understand, like, how could it be? How could it be that this guy is able to do such incredible, clear, miraculous changes? He decided he has to check this out. So he sent his shamus. He told him, I want you to go to him and tell him who I am, you know, tell him that, and I want you to tell him that I'm requesting an audience. I want to meet him. The shamus went and he met him. And he said that my rabbi, who is one of the greatest, you know, respected rabbis in Israel now, would like very much to meet you. He said, great, fabulous, I'm happy to meet him, no problem. And he made an appointment. The tzaddik came to see him, and they start talking. And this goy is, I think he was an Arab or a Turk, is enthralled. He never met a person like this who has the knowledge that he has, plus he's hearing so many things that he can't believe it. And he enjoyed the time so much. And they spent a couple of hours together. And then the tzaddik said, if it's okay with you, I would like to make this a kvius, that we get together once a week, let's say, or once in 2 weeks. I said, you know, the goy said, gladly, my pleasure. Oh, no problem. Sure enough, and he was supposed to come again in a week. The goy waited like 2 days and couldn't contain himself anymore. He sent his messenger to the rabbi saying, please, I don't want to wait. Could you come? The rabbi came and said, great. And again, they had a fabulous discussion. And this time they discussed one of the Sheva Chachmas. The Gemara says there are 7 major Chachmas in the world, music, method. And this goy saw that everything he knew, this tzaddik gave him additional things that he didn't know. He sort of, he asked him, are you knowledgeable in this one of the Chachmas? So the rabbi said, I have some knowledge. He said, okay, can we talk about it? They started talking. The goy was blown away. Couldn't believe it, the knowledge that this tzaddik had. They finished the meeting. And the goy says, can we do this again? And to the, yes, gladly. This went on for a period. They went through all the 6 of the 7 chachmas. And then it came to the 7th chachma. And he asked the rabbi, are you knowledgeable in this area also? He said to him, yes. He says, okay, we'll take this up in our next meeting. The rabbi says, I want to tell you something. There's something I need from you. The guy looks at you, need, what are you kidding? You have so much more than me and everything. He says, no, there's something I need from you, which if you're willing to share it, I'll be, he says, what? He says, I know that people come to you with all kinds of incredible problems and everything, and the problems are solved. And I know that you have some kind of power, some kind of secret. I want you to reveal that secret to me. The guy turns white and red, and he says, I can't. I'm sworn that I'm not allowed to reveal it. So the rabbi says, no problem. The same way you're sworn not to reveal, I'm also sworn not to reveal this 7th wisdom. You were sworn not to reveal it for nothing. But if you're going to reveal it to attain the highest levels of wisdom, I'm sure it could be okay. The guy tried to get out of it. He saw the rabbi was adamant. He said, okay. But he said, you don't know that it's very, very, very difficult. It's going to be very difficult. The rabbi says, no problem. I'm ready. Ready, able, and willing. He says, okay, then this is what we'll do. Before you come to me next time, you have to fast for 3 days. You can break your fast in the evening, but no meat, no wine. You can break your fast on something simple 3 days in a row, you know, abstaining from everything. And on the third day, before you come to me, you'll immerse yourself in a pool of natural water, you know, pure him, and then you'll come and we'll see where we go from there. The rabbi went home, fasted day one, day two, day three, and did not taste anything at night. He didn't want to. He wanted to go all the way, make sure if this requires purification, we're going to really purify. You could imagine how weak he was after 3 days of fasting. And he comes, and the goy sees him, and right away he sees on his face that he's in a different place than he was till now. And the goy says, okay, come with me. And he takes him inside his house to a certain place where he opens a door, and they go out into a patio, like a garden, something like he never saw before, something gorgeous, extraordinary. And he sees a pool there, a gorgeous pool, and he sees on the side of the pool there's like a bench, a stone bench, on which there are two white garments, like a kittel, white, pure, pure white, clean garments. And the guy tells him, we're going to immerse in here now together first, and then we'll put on these white garments and we'll go further. Ready, do, immerse, go weiter. They go further, they cross to the other end of this gorgeous garden, and he sees a structure, like a small palace that's unbelievably gorgeous. Never saw anything like this. And the guy, they come to the entrance, and the guy tells him, before you go in here, you have to make sure that you have nothing on your mind, to clear your mind from anything else, and to do as I do. Follow whatever I do. I'm not going to speak when I go in there. Just follow what I do. He opens the doors, and they look inside, and he sees up ahead something that looks like an Aron Kodesh, something that looks gorgeous, but with all kinds of precious stones on the outside, something incredible, incredible. And the guy enters into the room, and he bows. He bows down like you're bowing to an idol. And at this point, the tzaddik is petrified. Chas v'shalom, you know, what if this is Avodah Zarah? So he does whatever he has to, al pi halacha, to be able to make it clear that he's not, if it's an avodah, he's not bowing to any, only Enoid Milva, only Hashem, you know. And he bows like the goy bowed. And the goy walks ahead of him, and he walks up to this thing, this ark, and opens it up. And then he sees inside, the tzaddik sees in the ark, the letters on a gold, a solid piece of gold, the letters Yud, K, Vav, K, you know, in precious stones like. And he looks at it, you know, and he's, wow, it's gorgeous, gorgeous. And he's waiting for the goy like to go for it. Now what? And the goy says, this is it. This is a secret that was passed down. My father received it from his father. This is the secret of creation. This is the secret behind how the world was created. These letters that you see here, this is how the world was, everything, whenever I want to help a person, whenever somebody comes with one, I come here and I purify myself before coming here. And it's by connecting with this is where I receive this power, you know. This tzaddik writes that he went home and he burst into tears crying, how this is what he had to hear from this goy. This goy had to be the one to teach him the secret behind everything, and you know, the creation of the world and all the hatzlacha, all the hashpois of everything comes from here. And he said, how is it that we take this lightly? We mention the name of Hashem every day in our tefillos without realizing what we're doing, what we're saying. This story appears, it's written in one of the Sforim, and in the Tamei HaMinhagim, he quotes this. Rav Rosenfeld Zichron Levra once told this at a Shalashuris. And again, I don't have to tell you, I told this story recently in the shul that I daven here in Yerushalayim, and the people were in awe because this is one of the stories in the Torah that hopefully will inspire us. We just learned the Likutei Halachos of what the Shem Hashem is and what the Shem HaTzadik. Rabbeinu Zal said that when a Jew has an emergency, a real emergency, by mentioning the names of tzaddikim. Every tzaddik, the pasuk says, Zecher tzaddik levrocha. Mentioning the name of a tzaddik is a brocha. In the name of a tzaddik is included. When I say Baruch Goldstein, when I say the name of a person, in the name is included, it means the person who lives at this address, has this wife and kids, went to school, went to this school when he was 16, it includes everything about that person is included in the name of the person. When we say Rebbe Meir, we're mentioning the person who was born on this day, and from the day he was born till did all of these things. So we turn on all of that light, all of his chuyos and everything. Rabbeinu Zal said that this is one of the incredible, powerful things. And Rav Nosson Zal went and wrote a sefer called Shemois HaTzadikim, starting from Adam HaRishon, going through the whole written Torah, the Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medroshim, Zohar HaKodesh, up to his time, documenting thousands of names of tzaddikim and writing a short tefillah afterwards that in the schus of mentioning the names of these tzaddikim, Hashem should help us with whatever different things we need. This is also, we're going to see this. This is discussed in Likutei Halachos and other places. These are additional appendixes to what we have here. I have an example of it. It was published, it was printed recently again. Small thing, it looks like a little nuclear package here that goes from Adam HaRishon till like 150 years ago, mentioning, and again, having this kavona, that why am I saying the names? Because Shema, their names are connected to the Shem Hashem, and their names represent everything, all the good that they did in their lifetimes, and with the hope that by attaching myself to them, I'm availing myself to everything that they represent, all the goodness, all the bracha, all the shefa, tzlocha that they represent.